shed your blood for me, Jesus, on Calvary. Thank you for being born for me, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For loving me so.
Never, never, never know.
For loving me so, yeah.
Thank you for your blood, yeah.
Why you love me so.
Good morning, First Baptist. Ushers, if there's anyone in the foyer, allow them to come in and be seated. We are now getting ready to start service. It'll be an a cappella Sunday today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We'll be singing, if there's any hymnals in the pews, we'll be singing from page 248, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Time is filled with swift transition. Not on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to him cling. Hold
to his hand,
to
God's unchanging hand.
You ought to hold to his
hand,
to
God's unchanging hand.
You ought covet not this world's vain riches. Covet not this world's vain
riches
that so rapidly decay. That so rapidly
decay.
Seek to gain the heavenly treasures.
Seek to gain the heavenly
treasures. They will never pass away.
They will never pass away.
You are to hold
to his hand,
to God's unchanging hand. You are to hold to his
hand,
to
God's unchanging hand.
You are to build your hopes on things eternal. You are to
hold to God's unchanging hand.
When your journey is completed,
when your journey is completed,
if to God you have been true,
if to God you have been true,
fair and bright the home in glory,
fair and bright the home in
glory, your enraptured soul will view,
enraptured soul will view.
What you are to hold to his hand,
to God's unchanging hand.
You are to hold to his hand,
to God's unchanging hand.
You are to
build some things eternal.
You are to hold to God's unchanging
hand. Changing
hands. Okay. It's just a jewel. What's the name of the song? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I love to praise him. I love to praise his name. I love to praise him.
I love to praise his name.
I love to praise him.
I love to praise him.
I love to praise his holy name. I love to praise him.
I love to praise his name.
I love to praise him.
I love to praise his name.
I love to praise him. I love to
praise his holy name.
Oh, he's my rock.
He's my rock.
My rock.
My rock, my sword and shield.
And he's my will.
He's my will.
In the middle.
In the middle of the wheel.
And I know he'll never,
never let me.
He's just a jewel.
He's just a jewel.
Oh, yeah, that I have
found.
Oh,
hallelujah.
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 I love to praise his name. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I love to praise his
name.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I love
to praise.
I love to praise his holy
name.
Oh, he's my rock.
He's my rock.
My rock.
My rock, my sword and shield.
And he's my will.
He's my wind.
In
the middle of the wind.
And I know he'll never.
I know he'll ever. Ever let me down.
He's just a jewel.
He's just a jewel.
Oh, yeah, that I have. Oh, hallelujah.
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 I love to praise his name.
Oh, hallelujah.
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 I love to praise his name. Oh, hallelujah.
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 I love to praise his holy name.
Good morning. Good morning, First Baptist. When you're praising God, you don't have anything to complain about. The song says, I love to praise him. I love to praise his holy name. He's my rock, my sword and shield. When I'm praising him, my problems don't look quite as large because I've taken my mind off my problem and praising him. We thank God for this another morning that he has blessed us to come into his house. To him be all honor, praise, and glory. As we prepare to go into our service and communion, I was reading into a particular scripture last night that really reassured my direction. And the scripture is coming from 1 Peter. And the subtopic is praise to God for a living hope. And the third verse reads, praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Resurrection, that means he's got up. We have a living hope, something that is active and effective right now through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and into an inheritance. An inheritance is something that we are going to achieve futuristically and eternally that is set aside for us, believers in Christ, that can never perish, spoil, or fade away, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. God's word for God's people. Our communion scripture, who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty, majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took upon our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed and made whole. We thank God for the blessing of his word. On the night that our Savior was betrayed before going to Calvary, He sat in the upper room with his disciples, and when he had taken bread and broke it, blessed it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Let us commune together." And in a like manner, when he had taken the cup and blessed the cup, saying, "This is the blood in the New Testament. For as often as you do this, you show forth my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again." Let us drink together. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the sacrifice of our Lord. Ushers, if there are those in the vestibule, you may allow them in at this time. Family, it's prayer time. This is just a period set aside for our corporate prayer. But every minute, every second, every minute, every hour is prayer time. Talking to the Lord. There have been all type of occurrences that have happened since we were last able to worship together. But through it all, I think back just a few days ago, don't have to go back any further than that, and see the hand of the Lord working, leading, guiding, and directing us. I can't speak for you. I don't know what your journey has been, even through this short week that we've had here. But I know that God is worthy and deserving of all my praise. So I pray for you, my brothers and my sisters, that whatever has been unveiled for you to walk in and walk through, you can praise and thank God that he's allowed to come into this house one more Sunday morning and lift up his highest holy name. There are many among us, dear Lord, that are struggling through sickness, sorrows, pain, and sufferings. But God, you brought us to them so that you could bring us through them and so that we could see you more clearly. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the sick, the afflicted that are going through right now. We pray for Lord, those loved ones that have been charged to be caretakers, sometimes when the burden seems to be overbearing and they know not where their help is coming from. Dear Lord, I just thank you that you give them renewed strength to keep moving forward. We thank you, Heavenly Master, for a place to come to worship in, to learn of your holy word. We thank you, Heavenly Master, that you have chose us when you did not have to, when we have been unworthy, dear Lord, to teach us your truths, to grant us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We thank you, Father, for the seasons that come and go. We thank you for the climates, dear Lord, that we sometimes complain about. But Lord, you set us aside and say, "I'm in control of this here. I giveth and I taketh, and my purpose be accomplished." So, Lord, we just pray and give you thanks for all the things that you continue to do in our lives. I thank you, Heavenly Master, that you are still in charge of kings, thrones, and principalities. We put not our fear, dear Lord, in governments, but we look and put our hope in you, dear Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Master, that whomever is on a path to the White House, you created the White House. The White House belongs to you. So, dear Lord, we just thank you for being an ever-present help in the journey that we find our lives in. We thank you for the hope and promise that if God be for us, there's nothing that will be against us. We pray, Father, for that your holy word will continue to take root in our lives and in our spirits. And we will always be humble to give you all praise and glory that only you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Think that was right. I think they should sing again. What y'all think? You see? Look, that didn't help either. Wait, no, don't follow me. We'll really be singing a solo. Good morning again. It is so good to see all of you this morning. If you have not had the opportunity to speak to those that are seated around you, do so at this time. Let them know it's good to see them. Yeah, there. Don't you feel better? Amen. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be the preacher today. You give us the word that you have so ordained for this time, and we promise we will continue to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that you so rightly deserve. It is in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all, I need you to turn to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 9. And while you're locating that, thank you to all of you who have participated in our worship experience this far.
Amen.
You are so appreciated.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all too.
Romans 9, verse, did I say, oh Lord, that's not bad. Thank you. What, where did I say go? Thank you so much. I'm glad y'all know. Verse 9. Yeah, that's what I meant. That right there. That's what I meant. Right. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have been placed in a very special position. The confessing with our mouth that we believe in our hearts that Christ died and rose again has placed us in the family of God to receive the wonderful gift of salvation. This Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 11 says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and in your heart believe, meaning adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart of a person believes, meaning adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and is so justified, declared righteous and acceptable to God, and with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation. The scripture says, not Bertha, the scripture says, no man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in who? Him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. That right there is the word of God for the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if we had to give a title to our conversation today, it would simply be Just So You Know. Salvation, being the work of God through Jesus Christ, has redeemed us through the price Jesus paid through his death on the cross. His death and resurrection brought us back into right fellowship, the correct relationship with our Father. And he, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. His death satisfied the debt we incurred by our sins, which in turn deflected God's wrath away from us. It is by faith that we believe we are saved. It is by faith we believe that we are sanctified, set apart for God's purpose and God's use. When we've made this confession, we are then moved to ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and lead us into the truth of his word and into his holiness, to form us, to make us, to mold us into the image of Christ, so that our lives will be a reflection of our Father. Yes, our daddy. Y'all know y'all got some daddies that dare you to go out and act crazy. Okay? First thing somebody gonna say, yeah, you know, your daddy don't know you out here acting like that. As the Holy Spirit reveals to us our inner man, or our real true selves in Christ, it is also the Holy Spirit who moves us to know that we need Jesus to be Lord of our lives, as we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. It says this, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and an influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can really say, 'Jesus is my Lord,' except by and under the influence of the Holy Spirit." The Greek word for Lord in the New Testament is kurios, which means have power and authority over or owner. Jesus being Lord of our lives means that we recognize that he has ownership of and absolute control of our lives. And it is to him that we belong. He is, whether you want to say it or not, as a born-again child of God, he is your master. Romans 14 tells us, "For none of us lives unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." It is based on the resurrection of Jesus that we see in Scripture the acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord. Thomas in John 20 said of Jesus when he sees him after the resurrection, "My Lord, my God." It is then when he knew Christ as Lord. And as it is stated in 1 Corinthians, it is the Holy Spirit who reveals this to us or allows us to recognize it. And no, my sisters and my brothers, this cannot be faked. It is not something that we verbalize every time we are in a religious setting. It is something that is lived. Y'all didn't hear me. Or y'all didn't like what I just said? Which one is it? Luke 6:46, the writer penned the words of Jesus, and he said, "And why call ye me Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's what Jesus said. And in Matthew 7, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils." Child, we doing some stuff. And I'm sorry, that was the birth of prayer phrase. "And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Many can and will say, "He is Lord." But is he really? Can it be seen in our behavior, especially when there's no one around that knows you? Can it be heard in our conversation? Jesus tells us in his own words that many will say that I did this and I did that in your name. I sang, I gave to the needy, I picked somebody up and brought them to church, I worked on the cleanup committee in your name. Oh, I did all this for you, Lord, all for you. But Jesus said, even if you did, and it's appreciated. Now, we don't want y'all to stop doing it. Don't get it twisted. Okay. We still need workers in the vineyard. Okay. Don't get it twisted. "But even if you did, but you do not obey me," it means nothing. It's not about the work you do. It's not about lip service. It's about living the life of obedience to him. It's not only about what you do in the name of Jesus, but also about how Jesus is lived or reflected in your life. It's about what you do because of Jesus. When he is Lord of your life, it will be obvious when you come up against trying situations and you're not shaken or broken. Well, truth be told, yeah, you may be broke down for a little while. Every now and then it kind of breaks down a little bit. I know. But then you need to brush yourself off and get up and get yourself together. See, some of us get what I like to call convenient amnesia. And it only happens for a little while. Okay, you forget. I get that. But only for a minute. And then the Holy Spirit needs to whisper to you, his yoke is easy. And his burdens are light. And you know what? This too shall pass. And it's also with this recognition we come to understand why the writer of Hebrews 4 said, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Ooh. from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, strive diligently, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You'll stop worrying and being concerned about how things are going to work out. You'll stop being concerned with the things of this life and this world. He has it all under control. What we need to do is rest in him. The idea of Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords means that there is no other higher authority. He reigns over everything, and that reign is absolute. God raised him from the dead and placed him over all things, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me again. So if that ain't enough, and he put not some things, not a part of something, not partial, but he put all things under his feet, hallelujah, and gave him head over all things to the church. That's us, y'all, which is his body and the fullness of him who fills all in all. We know Jesus as Lord when we acknowledge him in all things. Acknowledging him means that you make him greater than anything. You make him bigger than your afflictions, bigger than your situation, bigger than your health issues, bigger than that bad relationship. Acknowledging him makes everything pale in his bigness and his godness. He is also recognized as Lord when we call on him and when we cry out to him. It is when you call on the name of our Lord that you realize that you are empty and nothing without him. When you call on the Lord, you are telling him that you can't breathe without him. You can't move without him. You can't live without him. Hallelujah. When we cry out to the Lord, we are asking for more of him, not for more of what he can do for us. He's already done enough. He saved your crazy self. Now, what else you need? We just need more of him. Look, saints, the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and tongue will confess that he is Lord. Everyone, everything will submit to the authority of Jesus the Christ, the Lord, the one who did what no man could do, the one who unquestionably submitted in obedience to his Father to complete the task which allows us to live today and forever with him. Y'all still ain't hearing me. So let me put it to you this way. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Here we go. When Jesus is shown up, your Lord, you will know that he is your rock and your salvation. When Jesus is Lord, you will put all of your trust in him and no trust in you. Because you know we're crazy and wishy-washy. So why we won't trust us? When Jesus is your Lord, he is your healer, your deliverer, and your way maker. You will be confident that he is the upholder of all things and the creator of all things. You will without a doubt know that he is the word of life, the word made flesh, and the word of God. You will know that he is the lamb that was slain. He is the bridegroom and the good shepherd. That he is the bread of life. He's the true vine. He is the rose of Sharon. Hey! And he's rare and he's sweet. Come on now. He is the light on our path. He is the bright and morning star. Oh, I'm talking about the Lord of Lords, y'all. The King of Kings. He was forsaken. He was stricken. He was wounded. He was crucified. Oh, but he's merciful. He is faithful. He is mighty. He is to be exalted. He is to be extolled. And he's to be glorified. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my fortress. Of whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. How? Hey, my God is a sure foundation. Oh, he's a mighty good God, y'all. Hey, he's a mighty good God. And he's a mighty Savior. And you know what, saints? He is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for reminding us that you got this. You've got this. Whatever's going on, whatever it is, you have it. And Lord, most especially, you have us. Thank you, Lord, for again reminding us that you are Lord over all things. And everything is in your control. And we give you praise and glory for that right now, Lord. We thank you. Now, if there's someone here who has not given their life to Christ, you are being given the opportunity right now to do so. Right where you sit, all you have to do is say, Lord, I give my life to you. I believe that Jesus died and God raised him from the dead. And then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and rule and guide you on this walk. And if you've done that, welcome to the body of Christ. Now you need to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to a place where you can grow in him, to learn of him, so that you can be all that he is calling you to be. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to this fellowship, there are cards in the pew behind you or in front of you, and you can complete that card, and there is a box in the foyer out in the vestibule that you can place that card in, and members of the membership intake team will contact you, and we would be so excited to have you go and grow in Christ with us. Now unto him who is truly more than able to keep us from falling. And he will and can present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Y'all, he's excited to do that. To the only wise God, our Savior, unto him be all glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let every saint of God give him a great big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And amen.
Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.